Music. It's something people can't live without. Whether it be country, Christian, rap, rock and roll, or maybe even barbershop, which is one of my personal favorite kinds of genres. Music is a part of people's everyday lives. But what is music? Is it Carrie Underwood, Matthew West, Imagine Dragons, or Bruno Mars? No, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, music is the science or art of ordering tones or sounds in succession, in combination, and in temporal relationships to produce a composition having unity and continuity. Music contains notes, time signatures, key signatures, scales, intervals, chords, sharps and flats, and a whole bunch of other stuff. In this episode of Global Thermonuclear War, we will be taking a week off from our usual topics of politics, history, the Soviet Union, and the intimate threat of nuclear war, and instead talk about the theory behind music. Okay, let's start at the beginning. Music is written with notes on a staff. Notes look like little circles. Some have stems, some don't have stems. Other notes are filled in, other notes are not filled in. The staff is five horizontal lines with four horizontal spaces in between the lines. The notes are placed either on a line or on a space. The higher up or down on the staff you place a note, the higher or lower the pitch of that note will be. So, there are seven letters that make up the musical alphabet. These letters are C, E, E, F, G, A, B, and then you go back to C. There is no H note. Once you get hit G, you go back to A. And music is centered around C, not A. So now the notes have their designated place on the staff. So starting from the line's bottom to the top on the staff, the notes on the bottom line to the top will be E, G, B, D, and F. While on the spaces, the notes going from the bottom space to the top space is F, A, C, and E. Now you may notice that there's both an F and an E on a line in a space, and that's okay. That just means that those they're eight notes apart from each other. For example, the F on the line is up here, while the F on the space is down here. Now they sound the same, they're just higher and lower pitches. Same note, just a higher and lower pitch. The same goes with E. The E on the line is down here, while the E on the space is way up here. Time signatures. The time signature helps you with the rhythm of the song. You need rhythm. Song. You just can't throw out notes willy-nilly. It would be a terrible song. It'd be trash. Rhythm can really be all what's needed in a song. You just need a couple notes and lyrics and a good rhythm. Some songs are like that, like Run Children Run, a song that the concert choir at Turlock High School sang for their fall sing this last October. The notes are pretty much all the same. For the most part, I mean, you fluctuate up and down, which, I mean, you need that in a song. And the lyrics are virtually the same. Really, all they say is, run, children, run, I've got a right to the tree of life. That's like all they sing over and over again. But the rhythm is what makes it cool and interesting. Now, the time signature is at the beginning of the song. It is the fraction at the beginning of the song. So you're going to see typically 4/4, 3/4, or 6/8. So we're going to use 4/4 for an example. The numerator tells you how many beats are in a measure. Now I need to explain what a measure is because I haven't done that yet and it's important. A measure is the area in between two vertical lines that intersect with the staff. Now remember, the staff is a horizontal line, it's a 5 horizontal lines. The measure is the area in between vertical lines that intersect with the staff. So if we're using 4/4 time, that means the numerator tells us that 4 beats are going to be in each measure. The denominator tells you what kind of note receives 1 beat. So if a 4, since a 4 is our denominator, that means a quarter note gets 1 beat. If an 8 were in the denominator, that would mean that an eighth note gets 1 beat. If a 16 were in the denominator, a 16th note would get 1 beat. You're kind of catching a pattern. Good, because the denominator is really just the powers of 2. 2 to the first power is 2. 2 to the second power is 4. 2 to the third power is 8. You get the point. So now let's look at a couple more examples. So 3/4 time is, that means a quarter note gets 1 beat while there are 3 quarter notes in the measure. That's probably the second most common time signature. The third most is 6/8 time, which means that since an 8 is in the denominator, an eighth note will get 1 beat, while since a 6 is in the numerator, 6/8 notes will make up a measure. Now I'm going to tell you about cut time and common time. Common time is just 4/4 time, and cut time is just 2/2 time. It's just an easier way of seeing it for musicians. All it is in the staff where it shows you where the time signature is. Common time is just a C instead of a fraction, while cut time is a C with a line that cuts the C in half. That's 2/2 time. Cut time is 2/2 time. Common time is 4/4 time. So now you know all about time signatures. Note longevity. So now we're going to talk about how long to hold. You have whole notes, half notes, quarter notes, eighth notes, 16th notes. You get the point, just like in the denominator of time signatures, notes are all the powers of 2. So 2 to the first, I explained this in the time signature segment. 2 to the first power is 2, 2 to the second power is 4. You get the point. So what do these notes look like on the staff? So a whole note is an open circle with no stem. And to count this, you go 1, 2, 3, 4 off. Now a half note is half the length of a whole note. It's an open circle, but it has a stem, and it's 2 beats. So you count it like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. A quarter note is half the length of a half note. It is 1 beat. And we're using 4/4 time just to make it easy, since 4/4 time is the most common time there is. That's why it's called common time. So a quarter note gets 1 beat, and it is a closed circle. It's colored in. It's black inside. It's not open. It's colored in with the stem. And you count it like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. An eighth note is a closed circle with the stem, but it has a little curvy line that extends from out of it. That's if the eighth note is standing alone. If there are two or more consecutive eighth notes, they will be connected by a horizontal line connecting at the top of each stem. That will signify it's an eighth note. An eighth note, you count it like this. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. So one and two and three and four and. Now a 16th note is very similar looking to an eighth note. An eighth note has that curvy line coming down from the stem, while a 16th note has two curvy lines. And if you have multiple 16th notes connected to each other, you're going to have two bars connecting them at the top of the stem instead of one. And 32nd notes, you're going to have three. And then 64th, you're going to have four, and so on. So how to count a 16th note is 1D and a 2D and a 3D and a 4D and a. So 1D and a 2D and a 3D and a 4D and a. That was 16th notes in one measure. I could have just played that one note once, and that would have been a whole note, but I played it 16 times for that one measure, which makes it a 16th note. So you may have noticed already that some notes have dots next to them. So I'm going to bring in a special guest, the Turlock High School Choir Director, Mr. Zach Stillman, and he's going to explain to us what a dot does to music. Okay, welcome to the show, Mr. Stillman. So I have a question to ask you. What does a dot do to a note when it comes to note longevity?
So anytime you have a dot next to a note, what it does is it increases the value of the note by half of the note's value. For example, if you have a half note that's worth two beats in a regular 4/4 time signature, if you put a dot next to it, it's going to add one beat to that note since it's a two-beat note. So then you end up with three beats on that note.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our corporate sponsor, Blindside Pizza. Do you like high quality pizza? Well, then you need to try Blindside Pizza because we give you great pizza at an awesome price. We have our classics like our Bailey Combo, our Frias All Meat, and our Brock's Buffalo Ranch at super cheap prices. Our classics start at $11.99 for larges, and our large one toppers are only $5.99. We have a plethora of other kinds of pizza. You can create your own pizza, and we have a bunch of different sides. Customers come back every single time. Remember to sign up for our blind list. You get emails about our specials and coupons. And also, we sign up for our rewards club as well, because every dollar you spend, you get a point. Once you hit 100 points, we'll give you a $20 gift card. So go to Blindside Pizza. We'll see you there. Now that we've kind of discussed sharps and flats a little bit, we can start talking about the major and minor scale. Now, I'm going to bring back Mr. Stillman. Yay! He's going to tell us what the major and minor scales are. And now we're back with Mr. Stillman again. And can you explain what a major and a minor scale are?
Scales are ways of arranging half steps and whole steps to bring certain sounds to music. A major scale is a range of notes from one note to the same note in the next octave, arranged with the half steps between scale degrees 3 and 4 and 7 and 8. And the minor scale is arranged with the half steps between 2 and 3 and 5 and 6.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Stillman. Okay, so now that we know what major and minor scales are, I'm going to play them for you. So each note has its own major and minor scale. C has a major and minor scale. G sharp has a major and minor scale. B flat's got its own major and minor scale. And each of these scales varies between sharps and flats. Like G major scale has one sharp, while B major has five sharps. The same goes with flats. Each sharp or flat major scale will have a certain amount of sharps or flats. You can't have both a sharp and a flat in the same song. And there is only one note, one major scale that has neither sharps nor flats, and that is C. That is why music is centered around C, because C doesn't have any sharps or flats. This is what C sounds like. C, D, E, F, G, A, B, and C. And then back down, C, B, A, G, F, E, D, C. Now the G major scale has one sharp, and that's on F. This is what the G major scale sounds like. G, A, B, C, D, E, F sharp, and G. And then back down. G, F sharp, E, D, C, E, A, G. Now you're wondering probably, okay, why can't I just play F? Well, let me play you what the G major scale sounds like if you were to have F instead of F sharp. It doesn't sound right. So that's why G has one sharp. The same goes with E flat major. E flat has three flats. It has an E flat, obviously, an A flat, and a B flat, and it sounds like this. E flat, F, G, A, B, C, D, and then back to E flat. So I've showed you different examples of the major scale. Now I'm going to show you examples of the minor scale. So the minor scale has, minor scales have the same notes as major scales. Like the A minor scale has the same exact notes as the C major scale, no sharps or flats. While an E minor scale has the same notes as a G major scale, just one sharp, and that's on F. While a C minor scale has the same flat, the same notes as an E flat major scale. And now you could be noticing a trend that the minor scale is just two notes down from the major scale. So A is two notes down from C, while E is two notes down from G, and C is two notes down from E flat. Now you're probably thinking, wait a minute, C is two notes down from E as well. Well, in the E major scale, it has four sharps, and C is included in one of those sharps. So the minor scale that is relative with E is actually C sharp minor, not C minor. So I'm going to play these minors for you. This is A minor. It has the same notes as C. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and A. And then back down, A, G, F, E, D, C, B, minor scale has the same notes as G. This is what E minor sounds like. E, F sharp, G, A, B, C, D, E. And then back down, E, D, C, B, A, G, F sharp, and E. So the minor is two notes down from the major. And this leads us into our next segment, key signatures. In conclusion, music is complex, but its complexity is beautiful. There is always something new to learn about music. Unfortunately, I could only give you a teeny tiny small fraction of what there is to know about music. But to wrap it up, I'm going to summarize everything I have taught you. So, in the time signature, the numerator tells you how many beats are in a measure. The denominator tells you what note gets one measure. A 16th note is half the length of an eighth note, which is half the length of a quarter note, which is half the length of a half note, which is half the length of a whole note. A dot makes the length of a note increase by half. There are 12 notes. They are either natural, sharp, or flat. Sharps and flats determine the key signature you play in. And major and minor scales are the arrangement of different notes. So thank you for listening to this week's episode of Global Thermonuclear War. This is Richard Clark. Next week, we'll be talking about how Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, how he's trying to rebuild the Soviet Union to its former glory. Also, we will hear from Turlock High School history teacher, Mrs. Andrea Medeiros, about how socialists are purposely trying to bring down Western culture, and more specifically, in the United States. Global Thermonuclear War is a co-production of War Games Radio. We would like to thank our sponsors, who without this episode would never have been created. War Games Radio, Zach Stillman, Blindside Pizza, Dean's Pizza, TC Concessions, the United States Federal Government, the State of California, Stark Industries, the Avengers Initiative, the Soviet Union, and McFadgen English. This episode was written and produced by Richard Clark, featuring Zach Stillman. This episode cannot be copied or reproduced in any form without press written consent from War Games Radio, Global Thermonuclear War, and most importantly, the CEO of Blindside Pizza, War Games Radio, and Global Thermonuclear War, Richard Clark.